You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Well, this is America's Web Radio, and this is...
Let's Talk Venezuelans.
Yes.
Yeah, my name is Josie Cruz.
And I'm Carlos Alfredo Torres Fletcher.
I am happily here introducing you our guest today. Her name is...
Lanelle Babbage Torres.
Yes, she got the Torres on her, so she's Spanish too.
But she's not my wife.
I'm adopted.
So, happy day. What is today's day?
Halloween day.
And also, I just want to let people know that today is Carlos Alfredo Cat Fletcher birthday. You probably, if you open the window tonight and you see on the sky, you're gonna see him, the cat flying in a broom.
El gato volador.
The flying cat. So today he might be flying. So congratulations, Carlos. How old are you today?
I was born in 1900.com.
All right.
Perfect. Oh, come on. Come on,
Somebody's calling. Keep it down.
Yeah, he look. He's like a David. Today his phone is being ringing, like he's in the Senate or in the House. You know, when people are calling and complaining.
But we just been with the president.
Yes, we were. Hallelujah.
It was wonderful.
This has been a magic month.
Yes.
You know, we went to Florida.
Yeah, David, you remember I was telling you that I was going through a blessing, tras blessing, tras blessing. You know, like a miracle happened here, miracle happened there. And the last miracle, and we're expecting for more miracles to come.
Absolutely.
Because when the Lord opens the window and he opens the doors... We have to tell him stop. Like President said, you have to stop.
I'm tired of winning.
Okay, so so we were blessed because we went. The three of us we went to National Trump Hotel in El Doral, Miami.
Yes,
for this festival, like conference festival, AmFest.
AmFest 19.
Yeah, we witnessed a lot of panel. You know, people talking about what's going on in the country. You know, the real news.
Meanwhile, she was networking. I was studying.
Yeah, he was taking some
seminars.
Courses.
With the Leadership Institute of Arlington, Virginia, in elections procedures.
You remember, Lanelle, that he didn't want to go?
Oh, yes. It was like pulling teeth.
At age 60, college again.
It was like pulling teeth. He did not want to go. He thought it was going to be a waste
of time.
He said,
I don't think we should go over there. What is good over there for us? I said, I don't know, but the Lord is telling me here in my heart that we need to go.
Look what happened with me. It was so successful that the people of the
Institute.
Leadership Institute asked me to go to certify myself as campaign manager.
So he's going to go in December.
I'm going on December to certify myself in that matter.
That's congratulations. And then after that, we came here, and then we got invited. Lanelle here. Say, Josie, we going to South Carolina. Do you want to go?
Yeah, but it's supposed to be a seminar on the...
Symposium.
On criminal justice.
On a very specific matter that is the... Criminal justice reform. That is one of the biggest reform that United States has to go. It's like immigration reform. It's something very heavy.
It's very big.
It's so big that you have to do it by part because it's
Then everything started because 20 Democrats and 20 Republicans. Representatives got together. I start working in this 2020 Bipartisan Justice Center. The meeting was in Benedict College, in South Carolina. Historical black college.
Can you repeat that? Historical black college.
Yes.
President Trump was there.
Yes.
And he was in rare form.
The first time in history that a president of the United States is present on a historical black college.
Yes.
Okay.
He goes where no man has gone before. I love it.
I went over there like going into class, and suddenly I see everybody, you know, in business suit,
attire.
And I saw,
and he went like a coach.
I see people of the Secret Service,
yeah,
and dogs sniffing and checking like in an airport.
Yeah.
And I said, this is not a class.
We are not
in California.
But in the meantime, Lanelle and me, we are minding our own business. You know,
mm-hmm.
We are talking. You know how women are. We don't see at this. What we're talking about was, okay, how are we going to get there?
Yeah.
Because Lanelle has problem walking.
Yes.
So
yes.
Suddenly. Oh,
you going to let me tell it?
Yeah.
I got to tell the miracle of miracles. So I was there and being very vain because I didn't want to carry my wheelchair, so I had my cane. And I was standing there waiting for people to go through to get their names checked off the list. And I'm looking at the distance of this school, and I'm like, my God, how am I going to walk that far? So I asked the fire marshal, I asked security, I said, do you guys have a wheelchair? And they looked around, no, we don't have a wheelchair. And I'm like, oh God, what am I going to do? All of a sudden, at the end of the street, here comes a golf cart. And this lady turns the corner, and I wave my cane like, come and get me, come and get me. And she came down there kind of timidly, and I said, oh, my God, you're an answer to prayer. So all three of us, we jumped in the golf cart, and we're saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I said, Josie, give me some tip money. Thank you, thank you, thank you for taking us. She drove us around one area that was barricaded because the Secret Service was there. The police dogs were around. Finally, we got in, and I got out of the cart, and I said, what is your name? You really have blessed me. And guess what her name was? Her name was Favor. Favor. I looked at the name on her jacket, it said Favor. I looked at the name on her ID, it said Favor. It wasn't a joke.
No,
it wasn't
was
the
not
name
a joke.
Of the company.
No, it
and,
was her
and
name.
It was, and it was like God saying, I sent you Favor on a golf cart. And so we got in there, and everything went smoothly. It's about 200 people in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. And then we got through security, you know, mm-hmm. patting down everything, you
yeah.
know, like regular, like
mm-hmm.
Carlos said, the airport waste style. And then we got inside the chair, and then we got right there in the center,
yeah.
in the middle.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
So we are
the fourth row.
The fourth row.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth row. So we are waiting there, and then we are listening to the panelists, you know, how they explaining how the prison business is going and is running in United States. And then, you know, it opened my eyes and my understanding and on this issue.
Mm-hmm.
And then, okay, everything went through. And then
we saw the dignitaries.
Mm-hmm.
Lindsey Graham was there.
Lindsey Graham.
Ben Carson was
mm-hmm.
there.
The governor of South Carolina. The
mm-hmm.
lieutenant governor was there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people from the White House.
Jared Kushner was there.
Right, Jared Kushner was
mm-hmm.
there. And other representatives. The president called them my representative.
Yes.
You know, because they
yes.
support him.
Yes.
So suddenly we start seeing they're taking apart the auditorium, no? They're
oh, yeah.
The chairs. And I say, okay. So they say, well, we have a surprise guest today. Guess who was?
No, we have a surprise. And suddenly they pull out all the seats.
Everything. They took everything.
They took everything. They move over. Over. The press came in.
Yeah.
With a lot of cameras. With
yeah.
a lot of
yeah.
And suddenly a guy came into the podium and put the seal of the president of the United States. And I was just in the middle at this distance, like you and me,
uh-huh.
okay? And I said,
what?
What? Can somebody pitch
me?
Okay?
Yes, that's when we realized the president was coming.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
out of the blue moon for me.
You know, like what's going on?
Yeah.
So they called him to give him the award, an award, because it was a recognition award for the job that he's been doing
yeah.
for the Act 1 and Act 2,
yeah.
you know?
Step 1, Step 2.
Step 1
yeah.
and Step 2.
Yeah.
And now it's going to go to Step number 3. So they gave him a recognition, and he came in so tall.
Oh, my gosh.
gave yes. him a recognition,
yes.
you know? And then he took pictures. They took pictures, and then he went to the podium.
Yes.
Oh, my God. That's when...
And suddenly, a lady They begin with the music, you know, every time the president they play music. And they load the music, and suddenly everything was
quiet.
Dead quiet. It's not? And
okay,
and do you know something? And do you know something? Somebody said, what did you say?
We love you, President!
And you can see that little auditorium, because it was more than 200 people.
Yeah.
It went from a very serious thing into a rally.
Yes.
Yes. So
He loved it. You could tell he appreciated that we were there, that we were supporting him, and that you were so excited to see him. And then, of course, we started.
4 more years.
Yeah. The champ,
years. So, why did I do it? Because this is an experience on a one lifetime.
Amen.
I don't know when I'm going to see him back again.
Mm.
So, I just...
You will.
We need,
you will.
We need to...
You
will. We will. Yeah.
We need to be bold.
Yes.
That's what I believe. We need to be bold. And when I said, we love you, President, the house, I bring down the house.
You bring down
the
house?
Yeah, I bring down the house. So, okay. A lot of... Look, let me tell you something. The only two Spanish was Carlos and me. There were like a 5 or 6 Caucasian.
Mm-hmm.
Not counting the White House size.
Right.
I'm talking about the inviters, you know, the guests.
Yeah, the
VIP. The VIP. Like a 6 Caucasian, 2 Spanish, he and me, and the rest was black.
Yeah.
Because this... It was done in a black
historical
exactly. So
150 years black historical college.
Yeah, because it's one of the first ones.
Because we have to congratulate your church that is turning 130 years.
Yeah.
Oh yes, I am a member of Galilee Missionary Baptist Church in Marietta.
All right,
this church. Just recently, anniversary of 130 years.
Mm.
It was founded by blacks back in 1800.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's still going. The church is little.
Yeah.
It's small.
Uh-huh.
The infrastructure is small. It's old. But the Lord is bringing people to the church from not only blacks, and they're getting excited because there is two or three Caucasian coming. I am the Spanish, and then I brought Carlos. It's two of us. So the church is becoming more now like a international church.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's initiating as a black community. You know, back in, 130 years, is, you know, segregation, right?
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? And then transitioning now to become anybody can come. Yeah. And the pastor...
It was founded by former slaves.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it has a tradition, and they have a music that...
Bring down the house.
Do they really? Over there,
oh my gosh!
I respect the message, but the music is...
Unbelievable.
Soul music.
That's what has kept the black community going all this
and
time.
And then you can see the pianist and the organ. You know, the organist playing together with the body.
Yeah.
And then they sing in some because I am coming from another country and from another culture. I don't know the song. But now I'm getting to know the song.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm singing with them. But the pastor is Donald Crump, Crampton.
Not Donald Trump.
No, Crampton.
It was close.
Okay, but let's go.
The pastor is Donald Crampton, and he got to associate.
Congratulations.
Church.
Congratulations.
Yes.
And this is now that we have about 3 or 4 minutes more to talk about the reform
on justice reform.
Tell us about that.
Okay, I'm going to try to sum this up in a few words. Basically, some of the people that came up and President called up to the stage to talk about, you know, they'd been in jail for 22 years and they had 28 more years to go for a first offense, nonviolent crime. They have been going through these different cases that have been brought to them and finding the injustice of the sentencing in particular. I speak to this as a mother who has a son in the criminal justice problem too.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he had a public defender. President Trump talked about inadequate legal defense, which is true. So my son experienced that. He was advised not to get on the witness stand. He was advised not to call witnesses on his behalf. He was advised not to have a jury trial, and that resulted in life without parole.
Mm.
Now, we were never told that we could negotiate sentencing or any of that. So that's what the president is doing. He's going back and looking at cases like this that are have been charged. People have been charged unfairly. They've had poor representation.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's fixing the sentencing negotiation because he is the art of the deal. So we are very appreciative in the black community for him going in and doing that. He had three black women there and at least two black men. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, they, you know, thanked him for intervening in their cases so they could be back with their families, because after all, they're separated from their families just as much as the illegals are separated, you know, when they come here.
No, and this is a matter of civil rights.
Of course it is.
The rights of the citizens.
Yes.
It's not only affecting the black community.
Right.
It's affecting the Latinos. It's affecting the Caucasians.
Mm-hmm.
It's
this reform.
Justice for all.
Yeah, of course, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in our community, and I say our meaning because I'm a black woman, not because, you know, I'm American first. And but the bottom line is our percentage is so small. I mean, we did have 13%. I think now we're 11% of the population.
And because 60% of the population in jail is black.
Community. And so it's affecting us, you know, really aggressively because of the fact that not only we're aborting our children and our population numbers are down, and then we've got the jail that's doing us in and a couple of other things that are doing us in. So we're grateful. I'm grateful to President Trump. I love him. I support him. I pray for him all the time. And
he's doing the right thing.
Yes.
Righteous.
Yes, he is. He is doing the right thing for everybody. Yeah. And you know, for anybody to say that he's racist or anything like that, it is the most abominable lie. The most abominable lie. Those people cannot love this country. They cannot care about the citizens of this country. And they are trying to destroy this country because he's bringing justice for all. And that can't help but make it good for everybody.
Okay. The time is up.
Okay.
We have to go to commercials. And
okay.
We'll be back.
All right.
If your health insurance premium is more than your mortgage, Ellen Deal with Ideal Solutions is here to help. Whether you're a small business owner, individual family, or baby boomer, email maga45cag@gmail.com, and I'll respond with three easy questions to help you determine if you can get away from Obamacare. As a 20-year veteran of the insurance industry, I'm here to help with all your insurance needs. Email Ellen Deal at maga45cag@gmail.com.
This is Ron Camacho, host of the Business Hour, on Fridays from 10 to 11 a.m. Join me as I talk with passionate professionals on a program that profiles the best businesses, business practices, and fascinating business professionals to get an insider view of how America works. The Business Hour, from 10 to 11 a.m. on America's Web Radio.
Perhaps you are struggling to cope with the disease of addiction. If not, you probably know a family member or friend that needs help in battling the cravings and the personal and professional damage done by the effects of drugs or alcohol. Get a pen and paper and be ready to write down the following. These are the issues that the trained staff at the Atlanta Healing Center address and treat every day. Their doctors and counselors with over 40 years of practice in the field of addiction can treat the suffering individual in a thoughtful, compassionate, and experienced manner and guide him or her along the path to recovery. So call 770-696-9862 and speak to a knowledgeable staff member about how you or your loved one can be helped to enjoy a better and healthier life. More information is also available on the website at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Yo vendo unos ojos negros.
¿Quién me los quiere comprar?
Los vendo por hechiceros.
Porque me han tragado mal.
Yo vendo unos ojos negros. ¿Quién me los quiere comprar?
Los vendo por hechiceros. Porque me han pagado mal.
Más te quisiera, más te amo yo.
Y todas las noches te paso suspirando por tu amor.
Más te quisiera, más te amo yo.
Y toda la noche suelo paso suspirando por tu amor.
¡Ajua!
Okay, that's not Venezuelan.
No, pero
Chile.
Ah, oh, Chile. Okay,
porque
but I put
hueca.
The well, Chile. Hold on. But I put the Mexican accent.
No, let me tell you that the Guasos, that is equivalent of the ranchers in United States, or the llaneros in Venezuela, or the people who do the charros in Mexico, they also has that kind of
ahua!
Because
something I learned today.
It sounds like the Marine Corps too.
The people of the Pampas Argentinas, because those kind of scream is to move the cattle in the plains.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the kind of things, and that kind of music is named cueca.
Cuecas.
Or in other places, like in Peru, is known as marinera.
Marinera.
And it's very curious because that music, you have that music in Mexico, you have that music in Peru, and you have that music in Chile. But why?
So that come from Spain?
No.
Probably?
No.
Oh,
it's
okay.
A mixture. It's basically from Chile, but Chile is a very long piece of land in the Pacific.
Skinny like me.
Yes.
It's
very long, and it happens that music, because it
travels north.
Sea, exactly.
Yeah, travels north.
But travels north.
Okay, what's going on with Chile? Explain me.
Well, the
did
news.
You hear? Did you hear the news?
Do you hear the news, David?
About Chile.
About Chile.
Okay, let's talk about Chile.
Let's talk about Chile.
Well, go ahead, Carlos.
They have a destruction. They have a crisis in Chile. They burned around all the metro system, the equivalent of the MARTA system. They burned
what?
All
oh
the
my
stations.
God.
They burned more than 20 trains.
Mm-hmm. Oh
okay,
my gosh.
They destroyed the around 1,000 businesses, restaurants, churches. They burn out all that
churches,
stuff.
Christian
and
churches,
and they also the violence went all the way to Valparaíso, that is the port city of Santiago, and this is something created. It's a crisis created by the communist regime of Venezuela and Cuba. And we are talking about this right now.
Yes, that's what we were talking about. Mm-hmm. So remember, Carlos, when I told you the communists, we call it here the leftists, the socialists.
Right.
In order for them to get or gain control about people, on people, it has to be a crisis going
right.
on.
Right, yeah.
Okay?
Yes.
They figured that out a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
They
mm-hmm.
create crisis. They create, after the crisis come the chaos.
Yes.
And then when the chaos, when everything is uncontrollable.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Control.
Yes.
When the government cannot control it,
yes.
or the leader of the country,
yeah.
or the leader of the city, the mayor,
whatever,
or the
yeah.
governor
mm-hmm.
cannot control, or
mm-hmm.
the president,
mm-hmm.
then they come as a rescuers.
Mm-hmm.
Those ones who create
the problem,
the crisis,
mm-hmm.
the chaos, the confusion, and the death.
Yeah.
They come with the solution.
You're
and
right.
what's the solution? Okay, we're going to tell them to stop, and then, but we have to be in control.
You're yes. right.
And with
promises,
that,
promises.
And with that thing, they use their own liberties and their own institutions to destroy it. Let me explain you. During that thing happened,
okay.
there were about 5 or 6 deaths.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the human rights, the national human rights says, the
pushed police, by the United Nations, the human rights
said, said you act with violence against these poor people that do nothing but protest with for just causes. And I said, you destroyed the whole metropolitan metro rail.
They destroyed the whole businesses. Okay. They destroy private property. They destroy, you know. Remember, it's a long country. Right. The only way that they can move is through the metro. So are isolating people in there.
My goodness,
you follow?
Gracious.
You
yes.
follow now?
Yes.
And,
yes.
And the thing is that it was very well planned because.
Yeah.
Spontaneous will not be that way.
No,
all
it wouldn't.
The stations are not made like here in the United States. You know, no. They are concrete structures.
Okay.
So they have to use, and they use accelerators, not just gasoline, but chemicals designed to be like napalm.
Yes, explosive.
To burn out all the way.
Yeah. Oh my
so,
God.
So this is an act of war.
Yes.
This is not a Pacific problem.
And that's how I conclude, you know, I don't know, it's my conclusion that how all these people got over there to bring all these materials, to the country.
Yeah.
To destroy the country. Remember, Chile is what we call in South America the United States. What is United States in North America?
What?
Yeah, it's the most developed
really?
Chile is the most developed
country.
Prosperous country in South America.
Oh my God.
So the goal for the Cubans and Venezuelans is destroy any kind, any type of prosperity country or in South America. Because what they want is they want communism from Venezuela down south.
Yes, yes. And they have to take out the most prosperous one.
Exactly.
As an example.
So in this case, it's Chile.
Yeah.
The next one is going to be Brazil.
Oh, my God.
That's going to be the next one, the next target. And Paraguay.
Oh, wow.
Paraguay. Those three. Argentina is already done.
Because
they reelected the lady who already brought death and corruption and to their country
the
and the destruction. It's the Hillary Clinton.
Hillary Clinton.
Hillary Clinton of Argentina. Yeah. So they re-elect her back again.
Oh my
you follow? So
yes.
Argentina is done. Los boludos. Okay. So Chile now is in the process of being conquered by this communist, Venezuelan, Cubans, Islamist, political Islamist, which because the Islamists are controlling Venezuela and Cuba and Bolivia.
And also Paraguay.
And Paraguay. Okay?
God.
So the main idea is a disaster. And why is that happening? Let me tell you why that is happening. Because I remember when President Trump went down to El Doral a year and a half ago. A year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he declared war on the socialist system. When he said, remember.
Yes.
The socialists have their hours count. Like the socialist Cuba, Nicaragua,
Venezuela
socialists, your hours are counting.
Okay.
Meaning you got less hours to keep on going in the so he declared war against socialism.
Okay.
And then what these people did, you're gonna do that? Okay, we're gonna now attack all South America country. We're gonna have them become socialists and communists and see how you're gonna do now, United States.
And do you know why we know that?
And send them in a caravan.
And do you know why we know that?
Uh-huh.
Because Nicolás Maduro was telling people that everything that Sao Paulo
Forum
planet is going right now. At the moment that you have a bad election in Bolivia, you have an election in Argentina, Chile is under fire, Ecuador is under fire. So
Venezuela with the two government, two president, two assembly, two TG, the tribunal, Supreme Court. Venezuela has two.
That's
I understand. But the whole crisis from the South American continent is because the South the Sao Paulo forum, they planned this a long time ago. Now is the time that they implemented the strategies
So now you are advised, and I'm advised to be to cut in this make a break because it's commercial time.
Okay.
We'll be back.
Alrighty.
You can keep your doctor, you can keep your plan, and every family will save thousands of dollars a year. I'm Ellen Deal, and if you've been hurt by the Affordable Care Act, you can email MAGA45CAG@gmail.com to see if we can help. Small business owners, individuals, families, and baby boomers, email MAGA45CAG@gmail.com for three easy questions to determine if you can get away from Obamacare. I'm a 20-year veteran of the insurance industry and here to help you for all your insurance needs.
Whether cruising the strip in a 57 Chevy or taking the family on a vacation in a 71 Oldsmobile Vista Cruiser, you need to tune in to Classic Cars with Steve Ronaldo and Jim Weber every Saturday from 8 to 9 a.m. on americaswebradio.com.
This is Ron Camacho, host of the Business Hour, on Fridays from 10 to 11 a.m. Join me as I talk with passionate professionals on a program that profiles the best businesses, business professionals, business practices, and fascinating individuals to get an insider view of how America works, 10 to 11 a.m. on America's Web Radio.
Get your pen and paper ready. If there's a move in your near future, I'm here to tell you that the folks I used and now recommend is Around Town Movers. Timothy and the guys recently moved me, and I am and was totally satisfied with a sometimes not so fun experience moving. Call Timothy at 770-378-4708 and make it a good move and a good experience. Around Town Movers, for that local or cross-country move. Timothy, Around Town Movers, in my opinion, are the best. That's Around Town Movers. Call them.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
So we are here and talking of Venezuela, talking about crisis.
How the influence of Venezuela as a systematic dictatorship, communist, leftist, socialist system are influencing in the countries on South America and Central America. And we're going to explain how everything starts.
Okay, everything starts. Everybody says, no, the guilt comes from Cuba. Yes, the guilt from Cuba. But this modus operandi, this way to do things, began in 1988.
Okay.
Okay? When Carlos Andrés Pérez, a very popular president, took power in 1988, in 1989, and happens that... happens something very near of that. People began with a protest against the increase of the price of the public transportation.
Okay.
The same happened in Chile. It's the same excuse.
Oh, my God.
The metro goes 22 cents of dollars higher, and look what happened.
Okay.
Okay, it's something that is not...
It's like they have sleeping cells in those countries, right?
Yes.
It's something like that. It's like a sleeping cell. When something triggers, then they raise.
Chile used to have, not anymore, the most modern and useful metropolitan transportation in the world.
Mm-hmm. Now it's destroyed.
And now it's destroyed.
Could you see that?
The amount of money just in the metro, they need to invest around $300 million just to clean up.
Just to clean
mess.
Up.
Okay. Now, what they do? They create a crisis. Mm-hmm. They create a crisis. Mm-hmm. They create a crisis until they destitute the president.
The crisis creates chaos, and the chaos. No control, like Puerto Rico with the governor. The same thing.
Uh-huh.
They promote the chaos, and then they have to come and Now, okay, the solution is this, but those ones who are coming to give the solution are the ones who already initiated.
Yes.
Initiated.
Yes.
In this case, the impeachment of the president, the restitution of the president in Chile, in Puerto Rico, and so on and so on. Okay, so how...
And that comes with what is happening today at the Capitol Hill.
Yes, exactly. Yes. What is going on? What it got to do Venezuela with what's going on today in the Hill? Let me explain you how
how
intertwined. Mm-hmm. Okay, you remember the caravans?
Yes, okay. Yes, of course.
The caravan was planned, organized, created, and financed in Bolivia.
Okay.
Where Venezuelans... leaders, Cubans leaders, Bolivians, Ecuadorians, Honduras, Celaya was there in that meeting.
Okay.
They got together in the jungle, they call it a selva, in a 5-star hotel.
Okay.
All of them, all these communities got together and they planned the caravan coming from Central America to United States to create a crisis on the border.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And using Americans as a bait for that.
Yes.
And collaborating with this.
With the Chicago City.
Yes.
In Chicago City were the Círculos Bolivarianos, the Venezuelan embassy counselors and ambassador got together with Chicago Obamas and the leaders of Obama in Chicago. They got together and they planned the legal help to send those people to Central America, specifically to Honduras and Guatemala, to tell the people what they have to say when they come and cross the border. Everything was so well planned. Not only logistically, they were paying money to those people from Guatemala and Honduras, giving money so they can catch a bus.
They don't have money to feed the people in Venezuela, but they do have money
to create a crisis to United States south border.
Yes.
And the worst part is Mexico. Mexico is one with Australia. Those two countries are the most strict immigrant laws in the planet. These two countries.
Okay.
They are very strict with immigration.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They do not allow anybody come to the country just like that.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well.
And suddenly, Mexico just let them pass through.
Until President Trump told Mr. Andrés Manuel López Obrador, he said, if you do not control migration at the south, I will.
In the wall that you have in the south, because Mexico has a wall in the south.
Okay.
Okay.
If you don't, take care of that, I will put tariff. And taxes on Mexican products
that are coming to United States. That was the only way that he could stop the caravan down there. So what I mean.
He says. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So what I mean by that is United States is being, now we are being attacked not only from outside, from this socialist, because remember, President Trump declared war on the socialist system when he said the socialists in Cuba, in Venezuela, and Nicaragua are almost over.
Okay.
That's when they got together. That's why Guaido never came to the White House to see the president.
Okay,
that's why none of those leaders came to see the president
that
because they are socialists.
Uh-huh.
And
okay.
They are part of that.
And they are part of that situation.
Okay.
So, but on the other hand, Venezuelan politicians, they come over here every 4 months and they take our taxes.
Our money.
Okay. Every 4 months, they come and collect $60 million, $100 million because United States assignate money to countries who have elections, who have going to process. So they already know how United States work and they're only sucking out of us.
Right. They're leeching us.
Yes. Leeching us.
Yes.
So,
okay,
the crisis in the border, the Democrats, why do you think the Democrats deny it, and delay it, and still delaying it?
Right.
Because they need a crisis in United States.
Yes.
And the crisis will generate a chaos.
And
so we are in the stage number two now with impeachment.
Okay.
The impeachment will create chaos in United States.
Oh,
why? Because people are not going to put up with this situation of trying to remove a legal, legitimate
president
mm-hmm. just because these people don't want to let him do what he has to do. Why they are doing the impeachment? They are covering up like they did with Hillary Clinton in Benghazi. They covered that up.
Yeah.
Elijah coming.
Let's
cover up for Hillary Clinton.
Let's not forget Obama was in that cover up too.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now we are in the stage number two, mm-hmm. which is the impeachment that will create chaos.
Yes.
And when United States is in chaos, you know what I mean, chaos, right?
Of course. Mm-hmm.
Civil war.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. They are tempting United States citizens to go and break into a civil war. But what they don't count is on the what we have as a citizen, as an American, is we are the biggest weapon on the world and the planet, which is the prayer and the deliverance from the Lord.
Yeah.
Because the big difference.
And the Second Amendment. And the Second.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
The difference between United States and Venezuela
and Cuba
all
these other countries
is because this country, first, they curse Israel. Mm-hmm. They give their back unto God, and they forget about God, and they start doing witchcraft. They start doing voodoo and all that. Mm. That's why their country are like
they're
that, and God don't even helping them out because
Haiti,
they gave their back
Haiti
to God.
Full of
the
witchcraft,
difference about United States, regardless what religion, if you are Presbyterian or you are Christian, Baptist, or you Pentecostal or Jewish, whatever, when we go to God and ask him for deliverance, he will deliver us.
Yes.
Because we humiliate ourselves and we ask for forgiveness. And like Carlos said, not only the biggest weapon that we have, which is God, is with us. In God we trust.
Yes.
It's because in God we trust as Americans.
Yes.
And the communists hate that.
Yes.
Because we say, in God we trust.
Well, not
we
only
have the
that,
Second
our,
Amendment, too.
Our national anthems and,
about,
and everything
and
we
about,
have is
and about
God.
300 million weapons.
Yes.
In hands of citizens.
Yes.
That know
the
how to use it.
The largest army in the
they
world.
That
especially the Texans.
Yeah. That they
the
know,
largest army
that they
in the world.
Know how to use it. Mm-hmm, because liberals and lefties, they don't know.
Yeah.
The regular people, there's no flakes.
Yeah.
Some of them, they don't know.
Yeah, but the marksmen,
the leaders,
and the marksmen that they use on this thing to create death, they do.
Well, of course they know.
And,
yeah.
And that's why we have to close the border, and we have to check
who's coming in. And who's going out?
We
but remember,
and we need
Maria Fernanda Cabal.
Orders.
You remember who's Cabal?
Yes,
Miss Cabal.
Miss Cabal.
Maria Fernanda Cabal is the senator in Colombia in the
my girlfriend
in the Senate. His his girlfriend.
Okay.
She tweeted out that the police department of Chile got three Cubans agents.
Mm-hmm.
They captured
three Cuban agents. When they say Cuban agent, we're talking about
trained people.
They captured three Cuban agents participating in the crisis on the streets.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So a senator from Colombia is tweeting that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. And
we're about to go?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
So, I think that we have to continue doing it. We need to continue doing here.
We need to build the wall.
Build the wall, secure our borders, make sure that our citizens are safe, and also continue praying for United States, praying for the president.
But we also need to get into it. As important as the legal reform is the immigration reform.
Absolutely.
The system
is broken.
Is broken, and we have to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the only way to fix this is you have first to close the main valve in order to fix that thing. And
the leak.
We'll be back.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients dedicated to fighting for your healthcare freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper. Write down www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. Go to our site and please make a generous tax-deductible donation and join the fight today. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mike Karuchak. Join me and my co-host, Dr. Hal Schertz, every Thursday morning at 8 a.m. and listen to the Doctor's Lounge, where you get a private insight into the conversations that doctors have amongst themselves. Join us Thursday, 8 a.m. every week.
You can keep your doctor, you can keep your plan, and every family will save thousands of dollars a year. I'm Ellen Deal, and if you've been hurt by the Affordable Care Act, you can email MAGA45CAG@gmail.com to see if we can help. Small business owners, individuals, families, and baby boomers, email MAGA45CAG@gmail.com for three easy questions to determine if you can get away from Obamacare. I'm a 20-year veteran of the insurance industry and here to help you for all your insurance needs.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
What Miss Josie were describing you is not a tale of Halloween.
No.
This is a reality.
Yeah. It's a reality.
Okay.
It's a reality.
So, and talking about that, you know, the realities, the lack of food in Venezuela,
yeah.
The lack of food in any country that has this
rationing of electricity, rationing of
everything.
Yes, I can't even imagine.
They suck your basic liberties,
yeah.
Your basic rights.
So the people at the top have
and
everything.
I remember when Venezuela was a very... very open country, bringing people in. Sometimes the immigration.
We have a lot of food from other countries, like that we used to taste. Like you, you remember you told me that you love to expose your children to other food, other culture.
Yes.
Okay, Venezuela had that open of bringing people. I mean, not only people, but food from other countries.
We used to have the best international
markets,
not only market. Restaurants.
Yes.
Caracas was known.
Yes,
as one of
it
the
was. I remember hearing
so
about
now,
it.
Yes.
In the world.
Well,
it
now,
was,
today, in Venezuela, the government decides you what you're going to eat and what you are not going to eat.
And that brings
and
us
to the
fagua. That's what it brings us to what's going on in New York. New York is like a little third world country.
Yes, it is.
It's like a little third world country.
So
what happened today? Tell me.
I can't tell you because it's fagua. But, you know, the...
It's the liver paste.
Okay.
The pate kind of.
Okay.
Pate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They just forbid.
Yes.
In New York, they forbid to sell and eat.
To sell. I don't know if it's to sell and eat, but if you forbid
to sell it,
it's basically.
So that means it's going to open up a black market.
Oh my God.
Yes, it's going to open up a black market in New York, man.
So maybe there'll be fines for eating it. It makes sense. I mean, you know, you do like marijuana or anything else. Well, it's forbidden to have it.
That's socialism.
Yeah. That's socialism. When they start controlling your food.
Yes.
When they start controlling your clothes. When they start controlling your dressing, the way that you're gonna dress, you know, where are you gonna live?
Yes,
you know, that's socialism.
I cannot believe that politicians
that happens,
have nothing better
Mr.
to do.
De Blasio, that used to be a Sandinista in Nicaragua.
What? He used to fight in Nicaragua with Ortega.
No.
You didn't know that.
I never heard that before.
He changed his last name. That's why nobody knows him by De Blasio.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
I know, but hold on. In Miami, they were about to elect a representative from the Republican Party, Maria Elvira Salazar, okay, who was the wife of Daniel Ortega,
ambassador
in United States from Nicaragua,
God.
And he was a communist. She was married to that man, she's a Cuban descendant, but she believed on those
principles.
Yeah. And the Republican Party is putting into her ticket.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes,
so,
which they have to do with.
Okay.
I mean, they should do
so
with everybody.
They didn't care about she being a communist or not. They just want a Cuban.
Oh, my God.
They didn't want other race.
Uh-huh.
There was another good choice. She was from Dominican Republic. And she was a Haitian descendant. She's a beautiful lady, but not only beautiful, smart. She's an immigration lawyer. Okay. She goes to the White House sometimes to advise the president mm-hmm. on the
okay,
on
so
the immigration.
Why?
She's a Juris Doctor. You know okay. what a Juris Doctor means? Mm-mm. She can discuss in the, into the Supreme Court of the United States.
Oh. So the, they yes. had that option. Yeah. Just because she was not Cuban.
They didn't elect.
They didn't choose her. So she
because
has to run. She has to run as an independent.
About Florida, right?
Florida.
Florida
Miami.
Is full of Cubans.
Miami. Yes.
Okay. 60% of the actual voting in South Florida is originally from Cuba.
Exactly.
And then exactly. They end up electing Democrat as a representative.
Five,
explain
wow.
me that.
And out five of
wow.
the representatives
it didn't take
that
long
they have
for them
in
to
Miami
forget.
Dade, four are Democrats.
You know why that happens? Because Cubans are more concerned about the race.
Mm-hmm.
Race, mm-hmm. their nationality. Oh, she's a Cuban descendant. They are more concerned about that than the principles of the proposal that the candidate has for the
so they haven't truly assimilated.
Bingo.
They haven't assimilated
that's
anymore.
That's why when you confront them, say, hold on, when you confront them, say, who are you? What are you? Oh, I am a Cuban American. Excuse me, how do you eat that?
Yes.
How do you eat that? You are a Cuban American? What? How do you? No, because my parents are Cuban, but I was born here, but I am a Cuban American. No, you're not a Cuban, you're American.
Exactly.
No,
exactly.
But for
but
them.
But they have forgotten what they started out. Did they start out wanting to be Americans when they fled Cuba?
They want to come to the Yuma. They want to come to the Yuma.
Okay.
They
want to yes.
have the freedom and the goodies
yes.
and the freebies. But they don't want to stop being
Cubans,
mm-hmm. no matter if they were born here.
Yeah.
So when they come and ask me, "You are where are you from?" Well, originally I am from Venezuela. Ah, so you are Venezuelan American. I say, no, I am not a Venezuelan American.
Uh-huh.
I am an American.
Exactly. Like they say to me, you're African American? No, I'm American. I don't know anything about Africa. I don't want to know anything about Africa.
Exactly.
I'm
and,
happy where
and,
I am.
Ask the connoisseur,
okay.
the connoisseur about the Caribbean food that you just prepared.
Oh, you're okay. going to ask David?
Yes, I want to ask David.
David.
What do you think about the soup that she prepared?
Very good.
Very good?
Yes.
What's the taste? What do you reminds you? Something like the Texan thing or what?
No, I'd say more like just a vegetable soup.
But like mm-hmm. the vegetable,
yeah.
like the minestrone, something
yeah.
like that.
Mm-hmm. I guess.
Okay, because it has a lot of influence of the Italian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wish it would have put the pepper in. That would have
kicked the,
yeah.
the flavor. Yeah.
I'm gonna leave you a little bit of the dry pepper because I brought it. I'm gonna make a little container and you're gonna take it home.
Okay,
so you can enjoy the soup tonight, and you're gonna put some of those pepper. It's gonna be delicious.
Oh yeah,
it's gonna be delicious.
It was spooky.
So the soup we usually call like Caribbean style soup, you know,
yeah.
and Venezuelan sancocho. We call it sancocho
okay.
or ajiaco.
Ajiaco is from Colombia.
Ajiaco is from Colombia. But
yeah.
remember, my parents are from Colombia, mm-hmm. and I am from Venezuela because I was born in Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
And we usually, when we made the soup, Lanier
mm-hmm.
and David,
mm-hmm.
when we made the soup, with the bone
yeah.
on it.
Yes,
okay?
Delicious.
And because the bone give you another kick.
Yes.
You know, it gives you another more strong,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Flavor,
and
more
then
flavor.
When you eat the soup tomorrow, David, it's going to taste even better. You
yeah.
know, as older it gets, better.
Yeah.
Better.
Like me, you know. Yeah, of course.
I thought that was fine wine.
also people, my friend. Also people. And I'm talking about that. Let's talk about celebrations today. It's Halloween.
Yes.
We do not celebrate in Latin America the Halloween.
Yeah.
But
good.
We do celebrate the All Saints and El Día de los Muertos.
In different dates.
For,
not today, but other dates.
For example, El Día de los Muertos, the Day of the Dead,
date of
is
the
not It's not that we are celebrating death.
Mm-hmm.
We're celebrating. We're remembering our ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what they put in into an altar in Mexico, for example. We adorn the tombs in the cemetery with flowers. The cemetery.
Mm-hmm. Go over there and clean it up.
Decorating. We have altars where we put the picture of the person that we are remembering,
mm-hmm.
and the food that he or she liked.
You put the food.
When
okay.
It was,
wow.
Yeah, like a little of what she used to like.
Really?
Or he
yes.
used to like
oh.
and, to remember.
And they put the little calacas, that is the skulls made of sugar,
mm-hmm.
okay, that the people eat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Sweet.
And
it's sweet.
Yeah. And also, in between the persons in Mexico, they write the calaveras. Calaveras is a small poem that people said, you will die in this form, and you will say when you die this other thing, and this word in your epitaph in your tomb will say. But they are very funny, very funny way.
Uh-huh,
okay,
uh-huh.
But we do celebrate the Día de los Muertos.
Remember, he's half Mexican. That's why he's talking about the Mexican.
And
not from
In Mexico, you have 3 days celebration on the Día de los Muertos. It begins on the 31st. We're asking the little angels, the people who passed away very
young.
Oh, okay.
They call it angels.
Oh, okay.
Like a little child died.
Yeah.
Like a toddler died. You know, it's
yeah.
more.
Yeah.
They call
that
they it angels.
That they come home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that they will be well received.
Mm.
And that celebration is from the 31st of October to the night of the November
song. Wow.
Yeah, it's a celebration.
It's like the Jews when they celebrate. It's
yes,
a whole week of celebration.
That's true. It's a long celebration.
Yeah.
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 And it happens also with birthday. When people is getting
oh.
into a birthday, it's like 4th of July. There's any excuse is good.
Yes.
Any excuse
yeah.
is
my
good.
In-laws were like that.
Yeah. For example, hold on. The only way the Venezuela will celebrate something like we call here Halloween, because people get dressed up, right? Like
mm-hmm.
a costume.
Yes.
The only way the Venezuelan or Colombian, South America and Central America is the carnavals.
Yeah.
Oh,
carnaval,
yeah,
which is
true.
In February, right?
Yes,
February or March?
February.
In February. Mm-hmm. So people go like Rio de Janeiro,
mm-hmm.
you know, with the carnaval,
yes,
you know.
Yes.
We can compare a little bit because of the costumes.
Yeah.
But it's the same. It's different
it's
meaning.
The,
it's different
and,
meaning.
And carnivals are also
mm-hmm.
5 day celebrations from Saturday to
yeah.
Don't they do that in Louisiana too? There's some
yes.
celebration
in New Orleans.
And, yeah.
So we
New Orleans,
a lot.
Yeah.
We celebrate a lot, and we have 1 minute to go.
Okay.
Okay. And
okay.
We have also the happy birthday, but the Venezuelans like to put another flavor.
Okay.
And one of the songs that we sang is the Ay que noche tan preciosa, that ends with the happy birthday to you.
Okay.
And I think it's happy birthday to me.
All
so,
right, here we go.
You see,
so
we're going to make it about him. You
yes,
see that?
Yes.
Yes, let's do it. And
all right.
in order to know it, this is the translation in English
okay.
for my dear friend David Moxley.
Okay.
Okay, and says, Ay que noche tan preciosa. Es la noche de tu día, toda llena de alegría. En esta fecha natal, 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 y más íntimos amigos, esta noche te acompañan. Ni saludan ni desean un mundo de felicidad, felicidad, felicidad. Yo por mi parte deseo lleno de luz este día, todo lleno de alegría.
en esta fecha natal, 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 y que esta luna plateada llene su luz para ti, para mí, que están Dios porque pases un cumpleaños feliz. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Carlo, el gato volador.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.